welcome to the Mac Show. I'm back after a stay of absence. Thank you very much to Mr. Carl Madden there in the centre, Claw0101 on Twitter, who did a fantastic job, buddy.
Well, thank you very much.
Yay.
Excellent. I got loads of tweets saying, why don't you piss off and never come back?
Awesome. What, me? Charming.
No, I got tweets saying, why don't me piss off and never come back?
That's Carl, who's this guy you're letting host this week?
Fans love you.
Yeah, you'll keep. Come on, you'll keep. First things first, reviews. We got loads of reviews. Thank you very much to everyone who left a review. We got our first review in the Brazilian iTunes store.
What?
Brazil. Dwayne Fonseca left us a review.
Brazilian is more than a gazillion, right?
I take a Brazilian. That's the most far-reaching review we've ever had, I think, in terms of, like, odd countries. Not like Australia and New Zealand, that's okay, but like, English-speaking. I'd like to congratulate you, because no doubt this is the best Mac podcast on iTunes. Ewan is great, informative and entertaining, together with the others. Well done. There we go.
I like a Brazilian.
Yes, I'm sure you do, mate. The only thing that I found out was yesterday, he said, can you recommend a good pub in Birmingham? I'm like, Christ, you're over here. Let's get a beer. And he said, yeah, I'm driving over from Leicester. He lives in Leicester, but he's got a Brazilian iTunes account. So that kind of flopped a bit. Lurkalot has written, the sound quality on the latest audio podcast recorded over Google Hangout is awful, painful to listen to. It's like listening through a time warp.
Wasn't my fault. Someone else did something to it.
I can't stand when people give a review based on one frigging show. We're not like versions or anything. If you've got a problem with the show, write an email that says it was awful, and we'll tell you why it was awful, because we had problems, because Google Hangout gave us that audio. There was nothing we could do about it. But Lurkalot, please change your review to what you think of the show, not what you think about one episode. Mr. Pooh, this doesn't look good. A top-notch panel discusses the Apple side of technology on a weekly basis, while occasionally straying off topic. Wait till you hear today's. It's that
That's
very
cute,
thing.
Occasionally.
And the quintessential British snarky humour and sharp wit that makes this tech podcast my favourite by a wide margin. If you find other pods, Apple podcasts, rather a bit too technical or even boring, like mandatory board meetings, you owe it to yourself to listen to these blokes at least once. Excellent work, lads. Keep up. Thanks so much for the great shows. And Del Wilson has written, I've been listening to the show for about 18 months now, and it's taken this long for me to write a review. I look forward to downloading this show and the others on the British Tech Network. The banter and Mickey taking between the panellists is combined with informative chat about all things Mac. It won't take you long as a regular listener to feel part of the community and interact with them live in the chat room or on the Google Plus site. Well worth a listen. Get hooked to it. We've got Google communities, thanks to Carl, and they're well stocked regularly, and there's good discussions that take place on them. So please join in. Look for the Mac Show, the Big Show, the Gamer Show, etc. on the Google communities. Bob
and
Stacey,
the Comic Show.
And the Comic Show, of course, as well. Yes, you've got your own one. Bob Stacey's put, love you, and he's a great host, and you never know who's going to show up. That's a bit too close to the bone, really. Country Buses says, just a line to congratulate on the choice of the new host for the Mac Show. He's brilliant.
Ooh, go
Carl, you got a boyfriend. If it's a boy, maybe. Swap Monkey. I love this one. Swap Monkey from the United States. I can't take the piss too much, because if he's got SWAT in his name, it makes me think he could shoot me. My wife and I love the show. That's all right. It never fails to entertain. We learn some things and always have a laugh. We live in the States, North Carolina, and we listen to a number of shows on British Tech. If the Mac Show had been around during our other favourite British show, Downton Abbey, it would have been a hit. It would have been a hit downstairs. Now, I don't know if he's saying that if Downton Abbey was real and we'd been broadcasting in the 1920s, then it would have been a hit with the below stairs, or whether he's saying it gets a stirring in his loins from it to hit downstairs.
Take it either way.
I will. I'm going to take the loin stirring one, because it's far better. But I'm not sure the upstairs crowd would have got it. Keep on, guys. Well done. We've had a letter. We've had a letter. It's addressed to Kelly. It says, from Matt, during one of your previous Mac shows, Kelly was explaining she loved everything in iOS 7 except for the fact that they'd removed the .com button from the keyboard. Well, she should not worry. Simply hold down on the period button, the full point button, and several options will then pop up. One of them will be .com. You may have already figured this out by now, but I figured I'd let you know, and that would keep Kelly happy. You could use it as a fire extinguisher in the event of a fire where she gets fired up. So, there you go. You're not fired up, I've told you already. P.S. I agree with Ewan that slightly larger phone would have been much better. Sorry. Oh, sorry, Kelly.
Here we are.
So there you go. All the letters
reviews. What was the rest of the letter?
No, you'll hear it on the podcast. Jesus Christ, I've got to edit now. Thank you. the rest of the podcast was, P.S. I have to agree with Ewan, a larger screen would have been lovely. Sorry, Kelly. That's any bit I wanted to read out anyway. The Week in Apple, what's been going on? Well, there's been some gold iPads spotted, champagne iPads spotted.
Oh, God.
You can now have Chav 40% bigger than your current iPhone. There's supposedly
gold.
And the fingerprint thing, print things on it as well. There you go.
Don't they have a shortage of that gold stuff?
They didn't make
over
enough.
In the warehouse.
Well, I think the first story you talk about, I lost shitloads of followers last Friday because I tweeted out. Hello, Kelly. You back?
Yes.
Okay, great, cool. I tweeted out that that Apple had really screwed up on their supply chain, or they were deliberately trying to make queues longer by not allowing pre-order until afterwards. And there was shops that had 50 phones. That was it. Big stores that had 50 mm-hmm. phones and nothing mm-hmm. else. And I thought that was an absolute disgrace on the part of Apple. I lost about 10 followers last Friday. Okay. I'm sick and tired of your Apple bullshit, your negative Apple bullshit. I'm going somewhere else. And I don't think they were happy when I blocked them and told them to F off. So, do I care?
Wow.
Yeah, you really upset me? No. Go away.
They can come over to my stream because I just take it. I'm really nice.
I'm really nice. I blocked them.
Jeff, what have you guys heard about this? Because I know there were stories here in Portland about some of the carrier shops only having, you know, five champagne iPhones and really low numbers of some of the other ones. So are you guys getting the same stuff from where you are?
Yeah, I heard 10.
This is after the fact or on launch day?
On launch day, there was 10.
Launch day, your stores did better than ours because I went to my AT&T store the day before and they had gotten a total of two boxes of iPhones in, they told me. And they had zero gold. Zero.
Oh, wow.
And the Apple store that I went to, which is one of the smaller ones in our area, had a sum total of four gold iPhones. They had two 32 gigabyte AT&Ts and two 64 gigabyte Verizons. That was it for the entire store.
Dan
and
Crane,
this is an Apple store.
Dan Crane in the chat room is agreeing with you, and he's saying on launch day, the store that he went to had zero gold iPhones as well.
Yeah. We had lots of them. Of course, they all sold out, but there were a number of places that had a lot of them. Luckily, unluckily, at midnight when the 5S orders went live, I was unable to get one. So it wasn't until the next morning I was able to actually order. So my phone gets here Monday.
So you went to the store and didn't get a phone?
Yeah. I went and waited in line and was live from the line with you guys on the hangout. And I got
begging Carl to get an interview.
I got to touch one. It was great. And then not too long after I hung up, hang up on the show, Apple employees came outside and they said, we have no more AT&T iPhones. And that was 8:30 maybe in the morning.
So how far back down the line were you?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Here's the thing is I have absolutely no idea because they were letting small groups of people inside. We were waiting outside Pioneer Place. So I have no idea how many people were actually inside when I got there.
But
the line went all the way along the side of the building, and it ended up going around the second side of the building. And I ended up partway back from the door. So I was getting very near being one of the next batch or two of folks that got to go inside.
That was my question. Were you in a place where you would have normally expected to have got an iPhone?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Depending on how many, but they were only letting small numbers of people inside. So I don't know what the line looked like inside because I never got in.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it was small numbers of people. What they used to do was let everybody wait inside. And those are the lines that I've waited in there. And when they do that inside, it's loads and loads of people. And I never expected to get a phone,
no, there's,
but
there's,
lucked out.
There's a bit of stuff going on in the chat room here. Batwinch is saying now, like restricting a bit of supply to increase demand. And I think she's absolutely right, which is why there was no pre-order for it for day release. And also Cyberpool says, God, you know, 9 million, is that restricting supply? That was 9 million orders included, mate. That was not sales at the store.
And that was online, and only 4.5. It's debatable, 4.5 to 6 million. We don't know the exact number. iPhone 5S's. So it's, that's they're including 5C's as well. You got to remember that.
Correct.
The new iPhone.
Those are undelivered items, and they're uncharged for items. I would possess as well. So they're probably not going to go into that financial quarter, and unless they report orders into a quarter as opposed to income into a quarter. But
that's not what Apple has done historically.
No.
Yeah, this is new.
Plus, where's the logic in having a purposeful short supply of phones? I mean, because they knew people were going out and wanted them and queued for them. And they might have underestimated how many people wanted gold, granted. But to put a fake limit out there, because if they'd have produced as many as they wanted to produce and they sold as many as people wanted to buy, their headline would have been, we sell billions of phones. Okay, billions is a bit too many. But I can't believe that they purposely would short everyone.
Well, here's my logic. I mean, the first thing to think of is the fact that Apple is not the most popular phone in the world. It's Samsung Galaxy. Therefore, there's a need for them to create a perspective that they are still an immensely popular product. And nothing does that better than TV showing up at huge lines around Apple stores.
See, I don't think they intentionally held back.
Really?
I think they got screwed.
I don't either.
On parts. And they couldn't produce nearly as many as they planned. And so they had to fall back as graceful as they could to make sure they would have launch day inventory.
Why didn't they just
admit
that?
They decided not to do pre-orders on the 5S so they'd have stuff in stores.
I think that's totally
But they didn't have stuff in stores. 50 phones for an Apple store is not having stuff in stores.
Well, it's better than having lines outside the Apple store and no one leaves with a phone.
Right.
Well, and they also had to spread it out over a lot more bigger markets. I mean, adding China just had to wreak havoc on the numbers that they could get at any individual store. I think they produced as many as they possibly could from when they started based on supply constraints, but it obviously wasn't enough, and they obviously knew it wasn't enough, which is, I think you're right, Jeff. I think that's the main reason why they didn't take pre-orders, but they also were more ambitious in terms of launching. I mean, Japan with new carriers, they've got China on board. I mean, they have more to spread around, and they had less phones than I think they really wanted. But I mean, they're kind of at the mercy of their suppliers, and they try and get as many as they can. But I mean, things happen. And you have to wonder, I mean, Hynix had that whole flash thing just a few months, I think, before, or, you know, right in the middle of their production. So the memory, I don't know if they were maybe short on memory as well because of that. You know, they had that huge tragic fire, I think it was.
Well, so, and also the logistics of the whole thing. I mean, if they are producing the numbers that they reported to have sold, like 9 million, the logistics of having to produce them from the moment they decide, okay, this phone is now finished, we're going to start making these and shipping them out. You need that headway. And
you're not thinking logically there, though, mate.
Sorry?
I would say you're not thinking logically there.
No, because every launch day, they're selling more and more phones according to their own material. So, but they're not. We don't know how far back they're having to start producing them. If it's 9 million phones they got produced on day one, right? Imagine how long that takes to assemble and get out into the world and populate. I mean, they're going to end up, if they continue to be as popular as they are, seemingly are, they're going to have to start producing iPhone 6 today.
No. This is what...
Well, think what will happen, too. If Apple had enough inventory, then think of all the articles we would have seen about how Apple didn't sell out of iPhones. What's wrong with Apple? Clearly, they're failing. You know why? They're doomed. That's why.
No.
That would have been the article.
Right. Let's think about this logically. Apple sells 30 million iPhones a quarter. Okay? That's a quarter's production. So they have to have a back-end supply that's coming in to meet that outward front-end. So let's say that's their production rate, 10 million a month. We've been seeing pictures of completed 5Ss since the bash, which was July. It was the week before the bash that they first came out. We've seen cases a month before that. So you don't see fake cases when you're in R&D.
We saw a case. There's a lot more in that thing than just a new case.
No. Hang on. You saw.
I don't think we saw completed phones in July either. I don't call that completed phones. You might have seen a case with a digitizer on top, but you don't know. Hold on, just a second.
Let me finish.
Okay.
You saw completed phones in July. We had pictures at the bash of completed phones. You don't get leaked images like that until you're in production. Because no one takes things out during R&D and gives them to the press unless they leave it in a bar. But they were showing iPhone 5Cs and 5Ss. We had completed cases and completed phones on show for 2 months.
No, those are production units. A static picture of a case.
They were the cases, though, mate.
What about the internals? You can't just.
You saw internals. There was internals coming out. There was pictures of the digitizers. There was pictures of the data cables. There was stuff coming out for 2 months.
All those things are coming from different factories all over the world in parts. They all have to be shipped over to Apple's, to Foxconn for assembly. It doesn't mean they're assembled. It means that they've got parts in production. And of course, they're going to have those, 3 months out. But assembly is a whole different thing.
I'm not disagreeing, but what I'm saying is, even if you were kind, that's only a month of production. 9 million phones is only a month of production, and they didn't have 9 million phones. They only had probably in the region of 4 million phones in sale. So if you were being kind, and all the things that you've said are correct, that it's just parts, it's just separations, it's not completed units, they still had less than 2 weeks production available on the day of launch. That's the logic of it. You can't deny that.
But we don't know when they finally locked down that design. That's all I'm saying. You remember when the iPod came out a few years ago and everyone was saying there's a camera in it, and they pulled the camera at the last moment. I know the iPod doesn't sell anywhere near as much as the iPhones. But they always... seems to me that they're always, until we see that keynote, we don't know what's coming. And they never seem to have enough stock, no matter what. I mean, they didn't have enough white iPhones when they're
popular and they're popular and there's never enough stock, but this was woefully short. What you were talking about...
Yes, if, you're right. You're right.
If Tim, the hour before he delivered the keynote, if Tim, 1 hour before he delivered the keynote, had said, right, we're going with this and it's available on the 20th, that 10-day window... is enough to produce the amount of phones that were available on the day of launch, based on their production rate of 10 million per month.
And I'm
that's woefully short.
I'm totally with you. But think about this. Look at the schedule. I think there's no doubt they were way behind schedule, and they probably ran right up to the last minute. So they probably should have been producing phones a lot sooner. They probably wanted to be producing phones a lot sooner. But they also knew they had to get something in the channel out in the market before the end of the year, too, where people were going to go nuts. Could you imagine if they said, oh, okay, we're going to ship them in, end of October? No way.
That, people would have flipped. That doesn't happen anymore.
So can we talk for a minute about the date?
No, just hang on a second. Where's the positive? Where is there a positive
for Apple? 9 million phones.
They haven't sold
more than they've ever sold.
Yeah, they haven't sold 9 million phones. They've had 9 million phones ordered.
They're shipping every single one of those, and this whole thing about, oh, well, they're in channel. How long are they staying in channel? Go to a store right now and get a phone.
If I could walk into an Apple store today and get one, I'd have one.
They have shipped a product which was not ready, long and the short of it, because they didn't have enough produce.
Possibly. Oh,
Greedy, you're a Dalek, mate. I don't know what you keep doing, but you keep getting rid of it and it keeps coming back.
But anyway, but 9 million phones, that figure, 9 million phones, that's still a hell of... Any other company would dream of that on launch day. And just even if it, comes to pass that you didn't get your brand new phone on the day of launch, I'm sure a lot worse things could have happened to you that day.
So let's point out logistics for a minute, because I did go look it up. I wanted to know. So if it took 1 minute to assemble an iPhone, and I know it doesn't, but let's say it does. If it took 1 minute to put one together, 1 minute to do a piece for 9 million phones is 6,250 days. It comes out to be just over 205 months.
Yeah, you know there's a production line, right?
Yes, I do. So go ahead and split that out over however many people are working at Foxconn, which is never a number that we're going to get. But if you put that together, like, you can see logistically what that looks like. I know it takes more than a minute, and I also know it's not one person. So,
well, 1 million seconds is 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you think about even whenever it was that they started, the logistics of getting 9 million anything out the door, if Samsung had done this, people would be wetting their pants with joy over, oh my God, Samsung sold 9 million iPhones. Take that, Apple. And it would have been this great, wonderful thing. And remember that we've seen that this is stuff, air quote, in channel, but every one of those is an order for a phone. And the reason that this irks me is because, remember, wasn't it BlackBerry with the playbook that said that they sold this many? But what they meant was, we sent everyone we could get a hold of out to Best Buy, and we're calling that a sale.
Mm.
So
Apple's production rate, though, Kelly,
this is something people are actually buying and paying for. And if it wasn't, I could walk into an Apple store today and get one, and I can't. So because every one of those orders is a paid order, I'm more than willing to call it 9 million sales. It's not like Apple is trying any sort of jiggery pokery with those kind of numbers.
It's fine. But what I'm saying is Apple's production rate is 2.5 units a second. Foxconn, they couldn't make 10 million a month otherwise. Go ahead.
Actually, Foxconn is in a shed at the bottom of my garden.
I can
tell when Apple's ramping up because they keep the lights on till late. There's four blokes, they're working the hardest, knocking them out.
Wow.
People have got these big ideas as big factories. It's not.
I'll tell you, you Shropshire lot are an industrious bunch, aren't you?
It's really are. Little elves, sort of beavering away.
You're not called the seat of industrial revolution for no reason, are you?
For no reason at all, exactly.
Thomas Telford made that production line with those four blokes.
I reckon. You know what it is? I take them, a couple of glasses of beer, and they're quite happy, and they keep knocking the occasional iPhone out. And they say, well, what colour should we do it this year? And I say, well, we've done the white, we've done the black. Maybe we should do a goldy version. And I say, okay.
And they said, why? And you said, because the chavs would love it.
Well, I think everybody wants it, don't they? You've got the gold card. I'll tell you what I was disappointed about, though, is they've kept the rubbishy rim thing that the paint chips away at super quick. And they still had it on the video about, we chamfer this edge to an inch of a whatever.
That's the technical term, an inch of a whatever, right?
As engineers will say. But it's really rubbish, isn't it? And I wish they'd have changed that. Because I keep my phone in a little case, and it's never really seen the light of day, but it's still, the edges still get worn away.
Right.
Now, don't we have a chav on the show?
Gold! Always keep it in your pocket, because no one will know you're a chav if you don't. Go on,
I thought somebody here ordered one. I thought
gold.
I've ordered one. It's due to come in 7 to 10 working days. I didn't spot the working days when the first invoice thing through, but there you go.
Is that from O2 Car?
No, it's from Apple. I don't go on contracts. So
good man.
Mine's 3 weeks. O2 are quoting 3 weeks for gold.
Yes, that'd be about. Yeah, okay, it's about the same period.
Gold.
Where's our sound bit?
That's because Rafi's on the job.
But no, I mean, see, okay, they probably have, in terms of like how Apple has been in the past, probably dropped the ball a bit on this one, because they obviously were very short on stock. Because most people, thing is, what happens on an Apple queue if they don't get a phone? Do you just order it online? In the
you walk
store?
Away, no, disappointed. No,
you get a walk of shame.
Imagine you're in your tent and you've been there all night for 2 days, whatever. And he comes to the bit and they say, sorry, we're sold out.
That doesn't happen. That's how I got my phone. I had a nice evening sleeping in a chair outside an Apple store. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that just for the atmosphere of being there.
No, it was terrible. I did not want to be there.
I wouldn't want to do it if I was anywhere but where awesome. Adam is in Southern California.
Well, the, exactly.
The spitting
were
you.
Awesome. But I'm sick now, so go figure what happened.
What, did you do an improv?
You sat in a chair and like to get a phone.
I did.
You did. Show us. Show us.
Oh, it's right here.
It's right here. Come on. The first in the flesh iPhone 5 S. I'm taking it, not C.
I put a bunch of high-res pictures. You can see my studio set up back here.
Yeah.
Photos on my Flickr, on my Google+, on all those places if people want to see the high-res stuff.
Beautiful.
Can we have a fingerprint? So is yours in a case, Adam?
Ooh.
I got the Apple it case, and I actually paper. Really like it.
Now, before Carl asks his question, because it's a good question, I've got a question. How many of you have ordered a 5S and are getting a 5S? Kelly?
Yep.
Jeff?
I was just looking at
Korea. I have
mine
in hand right now.
You have it Jeff, right now?
Jeff got one in store like the next day.
I got one on lunch weekend. I walked into the Boulder Apple store. Well, I went to the Boulder Apple store early and was able to get one of the three, I'm pretty sure it was just three, 64 gig black AT&T iPhone 5Ss that they got that day.
Oh, man.
And that was on Sunday, so not the Friday launch day, but on Sunday.
Right, Greeny, are you buying one?
Yeah, I put an order in for gold.
Right, so you're all getting one, I'm not. So here's my question. How long before you turn off the fingerprint feature?
Never.
Probably never. Absolutely.
It works.
I was going to just ask, can Jeff...
It's cracking awesome.
Oh, Adam, give us a demonstration on how quickly it responds.
I'll try. Hopefully I forgot the right finger.
Who's doing it? Here we go. Jess first. Jess first. Here we go.
Can you see it?
Is that a show title? I hope I've got the right finger.
My video died, so I have no idea if it worked or not.
I got it in front of the camera.
You got it. So I can't tell you.
That was ba-ching. It was done. Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, it's really fast. You just touch it and it's alive.
Adam's got it as well. Because I've got to say, fingerprint recognition has never been particularly great on computing stuff. And to put it in a small device and expect it to work, I would have gladly taken a sweep on. The average time would be 7 to 10 days before people got so pissed off with it. They just said, oh, bollocks, I'm not having it anymore.
I had it misread. So I've had it since launch weekend. So in a week, I've had maybe two times where I had to like tap it a second time.
Hmm.
I haven't even
darn
had that.
Good.
My big problem is forgetting that I haven't scanned in all of my fingers. So sometimes I'll be touching it. And I can't figure out exactly why I can't see something or why the screen isn't coming back.
So, I mean, the thought process that I had, and I think a few people had, was that you'd pick a finger and it would be your thumb. Because that was the thing with the Toshiba stuff that you did for the laptop. You had to pick a finger.
You get five with this, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And actually, somebody hacked and figured out that you could actually put five fingers on a single slot if you really wanted to. So when you're doing the setup, if you cycle through your fingers, I don't know what this does for the accuracy.
Oh, so does that reduce accuracy then?
I don't know, but he confirmed it worked and you know, put up a video. But so when you're doing the setup, it asks you to tap your finger. So if you tap your thumb and then your index finger and then your middle finger, ring finger, pinky, and then just cycle through that through the whole setup process. You can get five fingers into one slot if you really wanted to, and it will work.
Excellent.
Yeah. So you could get 10 fingers in two slots.
Now, what's interesting here is the chat. Jesus, Greeny. Oh, I was going to gloss over that.
And I thought, I hope I have the right finger was a show title. I was so wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Five fingers in two slots.
Five fingers in one slot, even. Now, what's interesting is I last night on the big show, all of you guys were dropping out, all the people were dropping out and freezing. You guys haven't dropped out and frozen, but the chat room's saying that the freeze out to Justin TV. Who knows?
Yeah,
we probably have no show whatsoever here. It's probably crashed and bollocks and it's done.
So, something else that's been interesting to me is a lot of people who are sort of falling apart over the possibility of using a fingerprint sensor on a phone. So there was an article by some goofball in the Toronto Star, who wrote a thing about all the sorts of terrible things that were to come because of the fingerprint sensor on the 5S.
Mm.
And it's completely wrong. And this is actually probably going to be my pick this week. Chris Rawson over at Tua, who I adore because he writes things like this, completely takes apart the article piece by piece. And, you know, because the guy says 10 reasons that it's a bad idea or something. So here's his list. And then Chris pulls apart every single one of those things. Like, the first one is there's a video out there. Unlock the phone. Well, yeah, if Adam were to take his sensor and walk through the setup and put his cat's paw on it, then yeah, his cat could unlock the phone. I mean,
or my nipple, apparently. That's my favorite one.
No, no, I think a nipple scanner would sell far more units.
It works, apparently.
He says, you can also set up Touch ID to work with various human body parts and appendages, which are also not fingers. Use your imagination. Just don't use mine.
And the thing is, as well, you could then, on the back of that, end up with sales of nursing bras so that the nipple scanner was instantly accessible.
That is brilliant.
See, that's why I'm a businessman. That's why I'm a businessman. Batwench, on that topic as well, Batwench's bra has just snapped. The bone in the bra has snapped and she's gone. Now, if anyone knows Batwench, that is not an insignificant event. There could be stories on the news this evening about that event, and St. B's could be a wasteland.
I'm looking forward to the video.
Yeah, absolutely.
An incident. And it'll be in slow-mo if somebody near her had a 5S, right?
720 frames a second.
I'm so looking forward to getting over that slow-mo feature.
Right.
I know, it looks awesome.
I think, now, has anyone used it? Because I've got to say, there's some videos
the
out there.
Is incredible.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what everyone's saying. But 720p, now, compare it to 720p slow-mo on the GoPro compared to...
What are we talking about now?
720p is the resolution at 120 frames a second, which is pretty phenomenal.
On the iPhone?
The video on the iPhone 5 shoots at 120 frames a second at 720p, which is bloody phenomenal. And the videos, I've seen a couple of videos online. They look fantastic.
They look great. Yeah, the only problem is there's no good export of the effect. So it captures the raw 120 frame. So if you want to sort of export it, if you export to Vimeo or YouTube or iCloud, it actually renders it on the phone and then exports it. So it puts it back so that you have the slow-mo effect, right? So it exports it out at 30 frames per second, but then you get the section that you've defined as the slow-mo in the slow motion, effect. But if you just pull it straight off, like into iPhoto or pull it right off the phone, what you have is the raw 120. So it actually is doing the effect live on the iPhone 5. Which is that's really impressive. Amazing too. Yeah.
Wow.
It's like real time. So it's non-destructive. So everything you capture on the thing is 120 frames per second for the whole clip. It actually has a separate video mode. So when you bring up the video camera, you have video and then you have 120.
Well, yeah, but that's what a camera would do. You have to post process to get your.
But I want Apple to give me a way to just export. A second. Say like I want the exported version and the photo app. Gives you no way to export the sort of what I call the rendered. I mean, I don't know what else to call it because I'm not
the only thing say that would stop that is a destructive export then though.
No. So leave the original and just let me export a second copy that I can pull off with the effect in place. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to share it. I want to do something with it other than post it to Vimeo or YouTube or, I don't want to put it online. I want to pull it off and, if you email it, it also renders it, but it reduces the resolution way down. So I saw a tip somewhere, it might have been Tua, where they said, email it to yourself and then you can get it back. The funny thing is if you iMessage it to yourself, if you're on an iPhone 5, you get the effect. If you email it to your own iPhone 5S, you get the 120 frame per second, raw video, which is odd.
That's great.
Adam, what's the point? And if you start emailing people of you doing slow-mos of anything, it's gonna get a bit tiresome. Surely slow-mo is just an effect that you do in post. Do it in Final Cut or iMovie or that.
Here's the other.
Do that
because occasionally you might want a slow-mo effect. You're at your kid's sporting event, and you want a little clip that's in slow-mo.
Yeah, I think what Adam's...
cut that in with other clips.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that you can export with the effect, and it gives you the slowed-down effect. What it's doing effectively is outputting a 30 frames per second rendition of your 120 frames per second capture just at slowed speed. So when you output, you've got your automatic uploads to Vimeo, YouTube, that kind of thing, or Instagram video. And what it's doing is giving you a finished product out of the phone. That's all.
Right. And so, to your point, Will, the actual interface that Apple set up for it after you shoot the video, you used to have the thing where you could trim the ends of the clip, you know, to sort of get the clip the way you want it. Now, under that, if you have 120 frame per second video, you have a couple other sliders. And so you can move those back and forth and define where you want the slow motion to happen within your clip. So it is selective.
Family and friends. I think, crisis of the video from Adam doing slow motion, jumping in a pool and stuff. You know, there's only so much.
You would only have that as one part of my whole entire movie that I'd put together. That's, you know, hey, my summer trip to the lake or whatever. I don't know, right? But here's the problem on the iPhone again with the 120 frames. So if I shoot that in the camera, and I pull it into iMovie on the iPhone, again, I lose the effect. I just have the 120 frame. And unfortunately, iMovie on the iPhone has no slow-mo mode. So I'm hoping, you know, you can't re-add that back in. Yeah,
thing
so
is, they need to fix that. I mean, if you send photos of your children to your family, it bores the hell out of them. It's only the parents who actually enjoy them. So when you start making movies with edits and stuff
Not everyone's a grouchy bastard like you, Will.
No, they do. Nobody cares. It's only the parents who care about this rubbish. They don't want to see pictures of your kids jumping in the pool.
Even if it's just for me, I want it. And, you know, I'm thinking of, like, coaches who are doing sports things. And I mean, to be able to shoot that and go back to your, you know, the kid or the athlete and say, here's... take a look at your swing. Here's what you're doing wrong. I mean, there's lots of applications for this.
Yeah,
they're not allowed to do that.
And if you've got a cable out to your to a monitor or something, you can replay with slow mo. That'd be fabulous. Yeah. You'll have to excuse Greeny.
My dad and his golf swing.
You have to excuse Greeny. It's less than 100 days to Christmas, and he's in warm up mode for being a grouchy old bastard.
He'll change his mind when he gets his phone and he plays with it. He'll be a bit different.
It makes a huge difference when you actually get.
We don't have a Grinch in the UK, but if we did, Greeny would be fighting off all comers.
I'm fed up with this Apple rosy view of the world where we're continually want to make blooming cards and albums and websites and
cards is gone. They killed it.
Cards is gone.
That was a good reason.
Ray of sunshine for you.
Steve Neighbor's mom is bloody livid.
Oh yes,
I'm telling you, mate. She don't want to piss her off. You had a question. You were mouthed open there, Cole. Ready to say something?
Oh no, it was about 10 minutes ago. What I was going to ask is, could you put a slow motion feature into iMovie on the app? But then Adam answered it.
Right. Okay.
So I wanted to ask the 5S guys, Jeff and Adam, have you noticed, because I noticed this, but it's with iOS 7. I'm still on my 4S. So I notice it on my device, but I don't know if it's even more dramatic on the 5S's. Siri is a lot faster under 7. And I don't mean responsiveness. I mean, when she talks, the speed of her voice is a lot quicker than it used to be. Have you guys noticed this?
Siri's a piece of shit under iOS 7.
It is.
This is you.
No,
it is. It is. It is. He said it is.
Okay, what's the deal? I don't have trouble.
I get a lot more frequently. I get the I'm really sorry about this. I can't.
There's a problem
right now. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not getting. Usually, the second time through, it works fine. Sorry, Jeff. I keep cutting you off.
Oh, it's all right. Siri is working fine for me in iOS 7 on my iPhone 5S. I'm not having issues where she's saying she can't do things. She is not talking faster. It has taken me a little bit to get used to the new voice, because I was so used to what her voice was that it almost felt like I was kind of cheating on Siri.
Can't you guys get Siri? John Briggs yet?
We have a gentleman, but I haven't listened to him, and it's still not Stephen Fry, so I don't care.
I did this last night on the Big Show, and true to type, it actually performed beautifully. But here you go. Siri, you're really shit, aren't you?
See, this is awesome. Siri doesn't want to play your little games.
I respect you.
There you go. It's taken a long time for it to do it.
I respect you.
Yeah, but you don't do anything properly, do you? You're absolutely rubbish.
Oh, don't I?
Now,
this is a whole show, just you and Siri.
It is me. But if you ask it to do anything, I'd like you to do the following. It comes back with, I'm sorry, there appears to be a problem, and I don't really care. Bugger off. And that's
I've
it.
I've only had Siri do that to me a couple of times, and if I ask again, then it works. I've had so,
yeah, well, that's exactly the anymore. That's exactly the point.
Well, I don't see it more than I saw it under 6. Siri's, I mean, I'm not living in Siri all the time.
Siri is sold as a safety feature for when you're in the car, and Siri is pointless over 40 or 50 miles an hour.
Wow, absolutely. That's the one I use it the most. No.
Go on, Carl.
So, American cars are more still than our ones, I think.
Yeah, you don't do 50 miles an hour.
I have to expose the largest security hole that nobody's talking about to at some point with respect to Siri.
Oh, come on.
Are you updated, though? Because I thought they fixed that in 7.02?
No, no, no. So this is just a problem of Siri out of the box operating from the lock screen, which you generally want, right? So you have her enabled mm-hmm. so that when the lock screen is locked. So the problem is you've also got all your location services and things like that in there. So Siri knows a bunch of information about you and what might be in your contacts database as well. So with her on the lock screen, you can activate Siri and say, Siri, where's my house? And she will give your address. Siri, what's my birthday? She will give your birthday. Siri, what's my phone number? She will give you your phone number, all on the lock screen without having to unlock. So if someone were to get physical access to your device and use Siri, they could get your home address, your birth date, your, you know, all this stuff. So I have now gone through and disabled Siri from the lock screen on all my devices. So it's inconvenient. I have to unlock Siri and then use it. But I kind of don't want that information available to anybody who might get my phone.
But
no, so if it's 7.02.
Also with your thumb now, so it's trivial to do.
That's
well, so yeah. So here's the good thing with the 5S. Yeah. The 5S, if you turn Siri off on the lock screen, because to activate Siri, you have to press and hold, the Touch ID sensor recognizes that and allows you to still use Siri using the password, you know, the fingerprint authentication and still keeps the phone locked. So, that's only for people with a 5S. What about my iPad? What about my 5C? What about my 5?
Kelly's on the money. I'm just looking at the software update now as I speak on my phone. And mm-hmm. iOS 7.02, it confirms fixes bugs that could allow someone to bypass lock screen entry passcodes. And it reintroduces the Greek keyboard option for passcode
entry. Right. But those fixes are for two things. So there was a hack that was discovered where you could access someone's camera roll by doing some things, bypass gyrations. The lock code and get to that. And there was another bug where you could actually place phone calls from the emergency call screen. This does not address, this is a feature of Siri. It's not, it's supposed to be that way. It's right. just, this right, is more right. of an awareness thing that people don't realize. And I didn't realize it till someone posted an article somewhere that this information was accessible. It's supposed to be accessible. It's by design. I don't think Apple's going to change it. The fingerprint sensor addresses it for anybody who gets a new device with a fingerprint sensor, which is one reason why I think Apple's moving forward with it, probably on iPads and all their products in the future. But for everybody else, they just need to be aware of it and make a choice. You know, I'm thinking you've got a woman, she's on a first date, she goes to the restroom, you know, the guy can reach over and get her home address. You know, there's some real world scenarios that aren't
who
like
goes oh, to the, who goes to the button. Toilet and leaves their phone with their first date.
People all the time, right?
People who aren't nerds.
I don't trust you with my home address, but here's my phone anyway.
I'm
taking the piss.
Oh,
I'm only kidding. He's gone quiet. Adam's gone. I thought he'd upset him, but he's just gone quiet. Oh, and everyone's gone. Apparently,
if you're really the only person who's been on a bad date. You guys are going to be all like, "Oh, that's never happened to me." Really?
No, I was the bad date. apparently, Stuart's sister does. But he hasn't qualified what she does. So there you go, Stuart's sister. Well, hey! Can you start your video, everyone?
My video has started.
No.
Mine has.
No, yep. It's not coming through.
No, no. Just turn it off.
Toggle it.
Turn it back on again.
Yeah, Carl's back. Greeny. Greeny. I took that nice picture of Greeny.
That That is a nice picture.
I took that. I'm a good photographer, you see. I'm a good portrait photographer.
I'm guessing you didn't take that picture of Adam.
You like that?
That's a selfie.
Everybody likes that photo.
I do like that photo.
Greeny, are you back or what? Greeny?
He doesn't know he left.
He's not there.
Yeah, he probably has no idea.
And we'll finish on a positive note. Apple has created $65 million in the fight against AIDS. The red stuff that came out and it was given to the Red Initiative has generated $65 million to fight the fight against AIDS. Well done. Round of applause. No comment necessary.
I felt guilty I didn't buy the red leather.
Oh, I did.
iPhone 5S
even though case. It was a piece of crap.
No, the case is really nice. I really like it a lot.
The iPhone case.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I thought you were talking about the iPad mini case.
I have not in the past.
The iPad mini case is a piece of shit.
Oh, the iPad mini case. No. The new iPhone 5S case is the leather ones. They're really nice. They're too expensive, but it's a really nice case. I like it a lot. It's hard to remove. That's my only complaint.
We are recording, Greeny. Do you want to get your knob joke out?
It does say Project Red on it.
I wasn't looking for a space to put my knob joke in.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were constantly looking for a space for your knob.
No, the knob. Well, it wasn't even joking. It was a piece of serious reflection upon Adam's point that if you are going to leave your phone on the table, right? If you're a bloke, take a picture of your knob on a first date. Leave it on the table. She can have a look, weigh it up, or he, either. All of it's good. And that's it, really. Well, that's the end of my point. That is the end of the knob joke.
But the problem you've got there, Greeny, is...
Macro lens on your phone.
Well, now, I was just about to say, there's two problems with that, because the iPhone does not have a wide-angle lens for those people like yourself who are well-endowed, and it doesn't have a macro lens for people like me who've got a needle dick.
I ask other people to take photos of it.
How much does that cost you?
They run screaming.
You know those blokes who are asking for money in the street? I say, well, you can have some if you take a picture of my knob.
Really?
No, you see, that's capitalism right there.
It is, isn't it? I'm taking advantage of their poor situation.
Knob pictures, get your knob pictures.
No, I wouldn't. I've got a better idea.
It beats standing up and going, even standard.
You don't get them anymore,
knob pictures.
That's the trouble now that Evening Standard is free. You do not get the Evening Standard salesman, man. It's a real...
No, they give them out free, that's why, because they're not trying to sell them. An Apple engineer...
Stay classy, San Diego.
Stay classy.
We will.
An Apple former iPod engineer has created a kinetic desk. He was former iPod engineer JP LeBrosse. And he's come out with a gas lift table that's got an LED screen in the corner, and it costs $3,500.
Ooh.
I love it.
He did work at Apple, didn't he?
He did. Gas lift desks are not cheap. I can vouch for that.
No, they're not. I'm at one now, and it's not cheap.
Yeah, I went to a firm that I worked for that was closing down, and they sold off all the gas lift chairs in their design studio, including the chairs with them. And they said, "Do you want one?" I was like, "How much do you want for it?" They went, £125. Yeah, I'll have one. And I went back the following week to pick it up with my van, and they went, "No, we sold them all. I didn't think you wanted one."
Three. What is a gas lift chair?
It's the chair you're sitting on where you squeeze the handle, and it goes psh, and lifts you up.
And what's so special about those then?
Gas lift chairs are pretty cheap, but gas lift desks are really, really...
Oh, gas lift desk,
Sit stand option desks, wow, man.
Why would you want to get your desk going up and down?
So you can stand or sit.
Stand.
It also makes it easier for the guy that's taking the knob photo of you, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it gives you the variability on the under desk camera for that special website that you sent to.
Because it's better for your body to stand occasionally and vary your position.
Absolutely.
Just get
as in most
chair.
Things.
Get 2 levels of chair.
Don't get him on positions, for Christ's sake, Kelly.
Listen, it's not me. It's bloody, Adam, who's been doing the rude gags this
week. He has, actually. He came up with a show title already as well. So
I know, he's the Rudy.
And the last thing, Apple TV got an update and it's still the same shit interface. Come on, Apple!
It's a hobby.
Oh, Front Row is a pain in the arse. And why there's still no wraparound on the keyboard. Jesus!
That is a little irritating.
Maybe
they just really think that nobody's using the remote and that everybody's using the app on their device, and so they're all typing. That might be why the search sucks, because they don't think anybody's using it with the actual remote that ships with the TV.
You've got to design something as a standalone device. You can't be
doing at least that. They've got that new tap to set up thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, I bought an Apple. I bought a 1080p Apple TV because I've only had 720s up to this point. And I thought, I want a 1080, and that's it. And I waited till the event had gone, because in case they brought a new one out. No, that's fair enough. So I bought a 1080.
Well, that one's coming out in October.
No, don't you do that. Don't you do zip zip. The quality change is immense. I've only got a 40-inch television, but you can see the change. I watched a bit of Iron Man in 720, and then I changed it over and watched it in 1080, and it was a step change in difference.
Oh, don't do this to
Beautiful.
Me. Beautiful. Don't do this to 40, me.
40 is about the point where you start seeing the difference between 720 and 1080.
Yeah.
Anything smaller than that, you're not really going to get the difference. You'll pay for it, but you're not going to see much of anything.
Oh, good.
So,
and plus, I only have 720p sets anyway, so I'm good.
Well, anything above, it's not until you get to like a 40-inch television or greater that you're going to see the difference. So the 70 in my living room looks really good.
I want a 17-inch TV. There's a Samsung down at Costco. It's $2,000. I love it. I want one, but the wife won't let me have it. Sore subject at the moment.
I got a tip when it comes to Apple TV.
We had the opposite problem.
Go on. Go on, Greeny.
I have my birthday.
You sile on him, mate. You sile on him. Sile in.
Say exterminate.
Oh, yeah. Exterminate.
Exterminate.
There we go. Hey. I hope no one talked over that. Go on, Greeny. You were saying.
Is it back yet?
Yeah, we're back. Come on. Get the story out, man.
Yeah, for my birthday, I had a little. One of the tiny ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I bought it for my little Raspberry Pi, but I use it instead now with the Apple TV. Because the Apple TV controller is infrared, so you have to have line of sight. Whereas if you get a little Bluetooth keyboard, which you can get for like £20, it worked really, really well, your Apple TV.
Excellent.
So when you're searching on YouTube or something like that, you can actually type the words rather than do that silly, you know, where you have to go up and down and select the letters and press enter, and then you mess up and you have to go back to delete and stuff. But that's my little recommendation. Only £20.
Like excellent. It. Very good. Not time for the cool thingy, but well done. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2.net. They're absolutely stunning. We love them to bits. And I went down to their data centre last Monday and had a stroll around, had a look at the place. It's huge. It's absolutely immense. They've got six big cooling units in the main room where all the servers and stuff are that work constantly like billio. The room's chilled like you wouldn't believe. Really, really good units, but they spent a lot of money on them. They really are a good company. I looked at all the stuff that they've got for redundancy and all that kind of stuff. I sat and looked at the BTN dedicated server. It was there in the London data centre. And there's a good point, you see, because all of your data is maintained here in the UK. If you're a UK2 customer, your data's in that data centre. It's not farmed out to some place halfway across the world that doesn't give a toss. UK2 are a great firm. I looked at how much they care about your data and security there and that kind of stuff, and it's really, really brilliant. Really good place. There's a little video I can show you of it as well, which I'll put on the podcast when I edit it at the end. But if you've got any need for web stuff, a cloud VPS, a website builder. They've just given me a website builder for my domain, and I've had a little play with it. I haven't uploaded what I've done yet, but it was dead easy. Really, really good. It's dead. You just get them. Just go to UK2.net through our portal. Use our offer codes. We get credit for it. You keep the network afloat, and UK2 are happy. So They're a great bunch. There's a guy named Andy there who's dealing with our account now, who's fantastic, really supportive of the network, and really he's the one that backed us right from the very start when we asked them for bandwidth. So please look after UK2, because they've always looked after us, even when bandwidth wasn't cheap. Right, time for the cool thing. Adam starts off, mate.
I'm going to start off. Have I done Byword on here yet? The Markdown editor. I can never remember what my past picks were. I don't
recall. No.
So I've gotten big into doing Markdown thanks to David Sparks, Max Sparky from Mac Power Users, and I do everything. You know, I do my web development, and I need to take notes. I am just doing everything in Markdown, and my sort of Markdown editor of choice. And for people who don't know what Markdown is, it's something. Developed originally by John Gruber. It's been extended, and there's all kinds of different versions. But in essence, what it means is that you take everything as a straight-up text file with a little bit of extra stuff in there. So if you're doing a heading, you put a pound symbol or 2 pound symbols, you know, for heading two, different various levels. And if you're doing bullets, you just put a little asterisk before your thing.
Has anybody tried this? I can't remember what you're doing. I tried it. A bloody nightmare.
It's just muscle memory. Once you train the muscle memory to do something else, because I had a really hard time. I used to write HTML by hand, so it's really, really, really hard for me to try and mark up in a different language. But once I got used to Markdown, syntax. It actually got a lot better, and it's better to read if somebody's trying to read what they've written after the fact.
Well, and
when it comes to the bit that you want to bold, you just highlight it and press the bold button.
Not everybody uses Word, sweetie.
I'll tell you why. Because it makes your documents completely portable. If you want to send a formatted version to someone, you just export it as a PDF, you export it as HTML, you export it as RTF, whatever you need to do directly from your app. So Byword lets you do that sort of thing. And they have a Byword editor on the Mac. They have a Byword editor on your iOS devices, and it syncs through Dropbox. So I just put everything into Dropbox. I have all my documents. If I need to email it to someone and I only want to send the text, I can just copy and paste it out. If I want to send them a formatted PDF with all the nice formatting in place, I simply export that version. So it makes all of my documents completely portable. I don't have to worry about, do they have Word? Do they have, are they using OpenOffice? Are they using, doesn't matter. I can just send them a document that they're going to read. It's going to maintain the formatting, and it's fabulous. And Byword, has the help in there. It has the little cheat sheets in there. It has all of the different elements. So you just hit, if I want a heading, you hit the formatting button just like it were Word, and it puts in the syntax for you. So you don't even have to remember it if you're using a good Markdown app. And I know there's a lot out there. I've been using Byword for a long time. I'm curious in some of the newer ones. I think there's one called Editorial that's out right now that looks pretty good. But I'm a big fan of Byword, and I think it's worth the money if you're gonna do a Markdown. You don't have to do Markdown. Use Word or Pages or whatever you want.
Rich text. If you're writing rich text, it's going to work on anything, HTML or whatever. Or if you want to make it plain text, make it plain text. It's some sort of perverse.
But if you have everything, if all your documents are all in plain text for forever, they're always going to work. They're future proofed. I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. It's all in text, and it's easy to edit.
But also formatted.
But it also has formatting if I want it.
Rich text format, and that future proof and everything else.
No, rich text is not future-proof. Rich text is a set format, just like so many other things out there.
I've never had an argument over it.
Raw text document.
You say it's not future-proof. It's been around 30 years, isn't it?
Greeny, sideline again, mate.
Everybody be quiet and let Greeny say exterminate.
Right, I've never had an argument over a pick before.
Well, it's good, though, isn't it?
Jesus, no, it's not good. It's Adam's pick. It's Adam's cool thing. It's Adam's recommendation. If it's not yours, that's fine, Greeny. Shut up.
Adam, get your own back in about 5 minutes.
No, it's a good debate. I'm not trying to convert everybody to Markdown, but if you think you'd find it useful and you want a good tool for editing it, give Byword a try.
Greeny is going to go around.
Is that it's Mac OS and iOS. This is... Yeah. A lot of times you can find a good Markdown editor on Mac OS, but there's no corresponding piece. So you have sort of two different interfaces if you're trying to use it portably and at your desk. And so that's one of the hooks that Byword has, is it's available both places.
Greeny's going to go around everyone's pick going, that's shit, that is.
That's utter shit.
Da Vinci Code. He whips himself in a bat.
I'm not at all offended. I still love Will.
Well, it's true.
You are a grumpy old bastard, Greeny.
Probably because I couldn't remember all the silly.
Just like Blake.
Again, right. Byword has a help in it. Has a cheat sheet. I'm pretty sure. Don't use it all that frequently anymore.
I don't get it. I do not. Why not just fire up text edit? Write your document. You can do it in rich text or plain text if you want.
Oh, shut up, Greeny. Exactly same thing. Shut up.
I remember the day.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. Well done, Adam.
Okay.
It was terrible.
You're welcome.
Jeff, what have you got that Will thinks is shit?
Okay, what I have that Will's going to absolutely hate today is Omni Grapple 6.
Oh, man, that's expensive. Yes. Will's going to really hate that.
Oh, yeah. It's okay, so Will, just so you can get all wound up right away, $99 for the regular version, $199 for the professional version.
There you go.
So Omni Grapple 6, it's a vector application. It was designed originally so people could do charts, but it's far more flexible than that. I actually use Omni Grapple in lieu of Illustrator when I need to create vector graphics. Now, granted, I'm not creating really complex stuff like you can do in Illustrator, so I can get away with using Omni Grapple, but it can do so much. And the new version has been updated, so you can get proper one-to-one scaling on a Retina display or a non-Retina display. And the interface has been refined, so it makes much more sense now. And it made sense before, but now it's even better. It does stuff like when you scale a graphic, your text with the graphic will scale as well. You now can make non-destructive edits on shapes. And the huge thing for me, which a lot of people were just like, oh, whatever. For me, this is huge. You can now export your Omni Grapple documents to Photoshop with all the layers intact. Holy crap.
That is cool.
That is pretty good.
Really. There's also an iPad version for people who need Omni Grapple everywhere they are.
Yeah. Yes. And it works with the OmniSync server. So you can make a Grapple on your Mac or your iPad and have that graphic everywhere.
I've got to say, rightly or wrongly, Jeff, awesome. It's always been the price that's put me off buying Omni Grapple.
Don't let the price put you off. Okay, if it's not something that you think you're actually going to use, of course, don't spend the money.
Yeah.
But for me, this is an application that runs pretty much every single day. It's worth $200 to me, easy.
Okay, that's good. Good recommendation.
I'm gonna pile on that just because this came up for me because I'm leaving Adobe behind, and I needed a vector editor. I recently picked up iDraw.
All right.
Oh, nice pick.
Which is $24.99, and it's a great alternative. So if you do need something that's, you know, an Illustrator replacement, I've been using that.
File outputs though.
Oh, I think it does EPS and everything else. Oh,
that's good. That's really good then. Yeah, brilliant.
And if somebody tells you to buy OmniFocus, tell them just ignore them. Rubbish. What a waste of time.
Rock.
I went through the old
OmniFocus is awesome.
God's sake. I mean, you just want to get a job done without planning your whole life out in this bloody application that costs a fortune. It's terrible.
Use Reminders then, Will. Built in, it's free.
And for the rest of us, we'll stick with OmniFocus because it cracking rocks. You don't have to let OmniFocus control your whole life. You use the parts that you need, and it has other stuff that as you grow and change how you're going to do things, you have all these other features. It's awesome.
It's not. I still love it. It's not awesome.
Will, Post-it came out with a case for your iPhone. You can just, you know, write on the back of it.
It's an anal to-do list. It's terrible. I mean, I spent so long trying to set the thing up and getting it synced with all the devices and, oh, you know, you want to do this brain dump and fa-la-la-la-la. Life is too short. It takes longer to set the bloody thing up than it does to do what you need to do.
Oh, shut up, Greeny.
It's just an excuse not to do the things you have to do.
You know,
have you finished?
I have to bail out because I have another meeting that I have to be in.
No. You liar, Jeff. It's because you can't listen to this shit any longer from Greeny.
Well, I'm supposed to be in that meeting.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Why can't I be drinking at...
Oh, well, there you go. The crash has solved the problem. Everyone's gone anyway.
Bye.
Right. Kelly, have you got something that's cool for us that Greeny can whinge about?
I do, and he's going to hate it. He really, really will. I actually have two picks. I have a useful pick and a fun pick.
Can you start your video for us?
Oh, I thought I did. Just toggle it. But it didn't take. There we go.
There we go.
Okay, so my first pick is a neat little article that Tuwa put together that's called The Don't Panic Guide to iOS 7. And what it's for is the article itself is not for people so much as it is for
cats.
People who listen to us who tend to be the tech support for their families or for their friends. Like most of the time when I imagine our listeners, they're all, you know, taller and thinner and better looking. And they all are the people who get the question. So, you know, I heard Apple has a new phone out. I heard Apple has a new iPad. I heard there's a new computer coming. And the people who get who are asked for the recommendations are the people who listen to us. So Tuwa also thinks that. And so Tuwa put together this article that is the Don't Panic Guide to iOS 7. As people see the little badge in the system and go, oh, there's a new system update. I should just update. Oh, my God, what happened to my phone? This article is for you to go ahead and have the information and be able to give people easy answers. And there's a bunch of links to the coverage that Tuwa put together of iOS 7 already. And this is really great to have handy if you need to share things out with people, particularly remote folks. Like, I'm tech support for my whole family, but most of them don't live here. So I get calls or I get emails, and this is something I can send them and go, here, just sit down with this and walk through the steps, and that will help you. So it's totally free, but it's got a whole bunch of words in it. So that's probably going to be the thing that Greeny won't like. But it's got some very interesting stuff in it. Like, what is iOS 7? Do I need it? I installed it and I hate it. Can I go back? I haven't done it yet. Do I need to prepare? Once I've updated, where's all my old stuff? You know, those sorts of things. And so it's a very, very useful thing. And then my fun pick is something that makes me happy every time I go there. Huh?
That wasn't the fun pick.
No, because it's usually not fun to have to sit and explain things like iOS 7 to people. So right.
Come on, Kelly, what's your fun pick, mate?
My fun pick is oldjewstellingjokes.com.
That is because awesome.
It is awesome. It is hilarious. And it is vast. Like, they got a bunch of people to go be... They got actual old Jews to tell these jokes, and it is phenomenal. They have a YouTube channel. You can see them all on the website if you go to oldjewstellingjokes.com. These are all the sort of, if you're American, these are the sort of jokes you would have heard in the Catskills back in the day, that sort of thing. And some of them are a bit racier than some of the others, but oh my God, they are so funny and they are brilliant. And I just love, like, every time there's a joke and I go and I hear it, it's very, very funny. And the only thing I don't like about this is that they do such a good job. Like, I don't want to go tell these jokes to other people because I don't feel like I would do it justice. I need to have, you know, the video to do it for me. So that would be my pick, old Jews telling jokes. And I apologize that I have now sucked everyone's afternoons away by okay. giving them this rabbit hole to go down.
Excellent. Carl, what have you got for us, mate?
Oh, my one, it's that time of year, FIFA 14 has come out, not only for the Xbox and the PlayStation, but also for the iOS devices. They've gone with the freemium model this time, so it's free totally to get, but if you actually want to play it to any sort of degree, you've got to spend £2.99 on it, try and lock the kickoff mode. Otherwise, you can only play it online for some reason.
Oh, God.
But no, it plays just as well as last year, and like I say, this year it's free, unless you want to actually play it properly.
Good.
So it's good.
Good, man. And Greeny, what have you got that shit?
Yeah, well, I think I'd like to second Kelly's pick. I've watched all of those. You can see them all online. I think I do them as a podcast as well, the old men telling jokes. And for me, the best sense of humour in the world is the super dry juice sense of humour. Absolutely love it.
Right, what's your pick, mate?
Oh, well, okay. I've got two, if you don't mind.
It's nearly time for my bed, so... I'm running out of frigging hard disk space here.
Oh, okay. It's only two cookies. A lot of my life now is spent in London. A lot more than it's ever been, I suppose. Well,
apart from when you lived there.
Live there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I met a really nice guy on one of the Elmug things, and he wrote an application called Station Master. And so you're bored, you're waiting for the tube, and you think, this is an interesting-looking tube station. And you, the nice thing about the tube stations is they've been there forever, and there's lots of sort of interesting little sort of quirky bits, weird doors leading to places, strange drafts, odd smells if you're in the couch and urine, all sorts of stuff like that.
I heard and that. You're okay.
And station master, you click on the tube station that you're in, and it tells you the history of it, tells you sort of fun things to look out for. It's not a lot of money. I think it's about £2 if that. And it's a really well-done, entertaining app if you're bored when you're waiting for your tube.
Excellent.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? Wouldn't you second that?
There's a website as well that's got loads of footage for deep tube and disused stations and stuff. That's really good. I've been down some of the disused tube stations when I was working for Royal Mail because they had their own tube network that carried mail around London from Mount Pleasant. And I went down and saw that, and I saw some of the stuff. And there was like tin posters that were covered the archway on the tunnel. They may still be there. They must be valuable as hell.
It's fascinating. Have you ever searched the old clothes tubes?
Or you're Cylon-ing, mate. You're Cylon-ing again.
The second one is...
You're Cylon-ing. Greeny, shut up. You're Cylon-ing. Right, there we go. Start again.
Hold on.
No, you're fine. Yeah, go ahead, mate. What's your other pick then?
Second one is, you know, I'm into the supernatural and all that.
Yeah.
I'm going to London, and again, it's a similar type of thing. It does both underground and overground and everything else. And Wombling Free.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's still tickling me though. And so basically, whatever part of London you're in, it's got maps and stuff. It'll show you where there's a haunting. And one of the things that I enjoy the ghosting, of course, but probably more adds a sort of spooky edge to it. But I enjoy the history of London, which is probably one of the most historical cities in the country, in the world. And it gives you backstories of history and everything else as well. So that's only about 69p or 79p or whatever it is. Whatever. So a couple of London picks when you're bored.
What's it called?
That's called Ghost Finder London. They do a few, I think. Ghost Finder Edinburgh, I think they do, and a couple of Ghost Finders.
They should do those as in-app purchases.
Yeah, they should, shouldn't they? Yeah. I hate in-app purchases, though, don't you?
I do. My cool thing. Griffin Capacitive Touch Gloves. There you go. They're dead simple. They're £13 at the moment at Amazon, and it's just coming up time for winter and when you need to get out and you need to use your phone, and they're absolutely brilliant. £13.
I thought you had them on because you was planning to go out do a bit of cat burglary later.
Well, maybe. It's for capacitive touch security entry systems. That's what it is. And you can use them with your Apple mouse as well. Brilliant.
What about fingerprint scanner?
Yeah, probably not.
Why would you be using your Apple mouse out on a cold day?
I don't know. On site. I'm stuck in the van.
What if it's just cold in your office?
It is. I've got a new air conditioner. Finally, I've had it for a year and it's been fitted and it's chilly as hell in here. It's brilliant. So I do need this.
What time of year to get it fitted, innit?
Fuck off, Green. Right, we can get Adam at the Maccast, of course, and at Maccast on Twitter. He's fantastic. Follow him and listen to his show because it's bloody marvellous. You can get Jeff at the Mac Observer, and you can also get him at Jay Gamet on Twitter. And Fresh Brewed Tales is where he puts his coffee shop rantings. Kelly, where are you, Mrs.?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net as Verso, and you can also find me on the Angry Mac Bastards podcast, which is super fun and not safe for work. And you can usually find me on the Tuwa Talkcast and over at tuaw.com.
Thank you very much. Carl, where are you, mate?
Oh, you can get me on Twitter at Claw0101. You can't get me on Facebook now, though, because I've completely left.
Yes!
And you can also get me on my new blog, which is probably starting next week or the week after, at macandforth.com.
Mark Shepherd says, I wonder if you can train the iPhone 5S Touch ID for gloves.
Maybe.
And Greeny, you grumpy old bastard, where are you?
Grumpyoldbastard.com.
I was going to say, I should be in the Angry Mac Master, shouldn't I? You can find me at BritishMac.com. Oh, Twitter as well, which is BritishMac.
All right. Well done. We'll be back again next week. Another Max Shelby here. Hope you enjoy it. See you then.